it's the biggest thing, right? If you build a solid team and they feel like you're invested in them and that they can share their feelings, they're going to be invested in you.
All right, fighters. So one of my business partners in the Contractor Sales Academy, his name's Steve. He owns, he's one of the owners of Premier Ponds in Burtonsville, Maryland, and they freaking crush it. You talk about a company that is massively, massively head and shoulders above their competition in terms of experience, profit, all that other stuff. That's the company to look at. And he's been my business partner for several years now. Well, Steve has a business partner, and his name is Andrew. He actually has two business partners now in his company called his company Premier Ponds. And one of those guys is Andrew. He's on the show here today, Andrew Lingen. Started working for Steve in high school in the summers. And now he owns 50% of the company. He bought 30% of the company when he was 26 years old. And in 2018, he bought another 20%. And the guy's not even 30 years old yet. He's frickin' crushing it. And we just talk about his journey of going from a little high school punk digging holes, working for Steve, to being an owner and helping to grow the company. And I just thought it was a good conversation to share with you guys who, some of you might be an employee working for somebody, you have a vision of owning a company, and other of you are owners and you're going, you know, how do I give some of these inexperienced, young, new guys some vision of what they can accomplish in your own company and things like that. So anyway, without further ado, check out this interview with my good buddy, Andrew Lingen. Andrew, my man, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
It's going. It is going, man. So we were in Nashville not too long ago, hanging out.
Yep.
And I was like, dude, we got to get you on the podcast. And so for those of you that are listening and don't know, Andrew is a business partner in a company called Premier Ponds in Burtonsville, Maryland. And he is one of, he's a business partner to Steve, who is one of my business partners in the Contractor Sales Academy. So I'm just kind of giving everybody the full picture here. And so, Andrew, I thought, you know, I know a lot of the ins and outs that are going on in Premier and what you guys are doing and the journey you guys have been on for a while. And I just thought it'd be cool to get you on here and talk a little bit about how you started in the trades and in the contracting world. I thought it'd be cool to talk about how to, a little bit about company culture and some things like that to, because I think there's a lot of guys that are out there that have it in their head that just nobody wants to work in the trades. Nobody wants to work hard. Young guys don't want to go into this shit, you know, and you're a young guy, you're still a young guy. And so that's why you're here, man. And so I'm fired up that you carved out some time to make this happen today. Thank you.
I'm super excited. I spent the last half hour taking some notes here so that we can stay on track and super fired up to do it. So thanks for having me.
Who, you organized taking notes? Come on.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah. That's, so give us a, you are, give us kind of the snapshot of your journey with Premier. Like, how'd you get started with the company and where are you at now? And all that stuff, just to give some context for what we're talking about.
Yeah, so I really, the story is interwoven with my life story, as are most. I got accepted to Virginia Tech in 2007, and I was pretty set that I was going to go be an engineer. That was my life's path. I thought mechanical engineering was going to be it. And then I started, after I made that decision, I started with Premier the day after I graduated high school and started working for Steve just as summer help. And that's really where it all started.
So you're this little punk-ass teenager jumping on Steve's crew, pushing a wheelbarrow around, digging holes, stuff like that in the summer.
Yeah, it's actually super funny the way it started. The first interview was at Steve's house and I pull up and I'm expecting to like get fully interviewed. And it was just pond side at Steve's. And he goes, do you think you can move these rocks? And I said, I don't know, but we're going to find out. And that's where it all began. So
what year was that?
2007.
All right. So what, walk us through the next few years. You're in college and did you work for Steve every summer? What did that look like?
Right. So I ended up going to college fall of 2007. And every summer I'd come back, I'd tell Steve, this is my last summer. I'm going to go get an internship somewhere in the U.S. doing engineering. Every year, kept coming back telling him, no, I'm not going to get an internship. The money's just not there like it is here. I can live at home, have no expenses, and make basically 10 grand a summer is what I was doing back then. So it was just more advantageous to keep coming back. In 2008, I got a pretty bad concussion skateboarding, and I was doing screwing around in school, really. I wasn't focused on my studies, so I kind of had a life realization moment. I went from mechanical engineering to civil engineering, which was way more construction, kind of like what's going on at Premier Ponds. Mm-hmm. And in 2009, met my wife. That was from the fall to the spring, so it's a one school year. Met my wife. She really got me on track with my academics, and really the reason I graduated. So and that all led to 2011. I keep coming back every summer for Steve. In fact, I even worked winter breaks. And in 2011, Steve said, hey, I know your plan is to be an engineer, but what if you could run a business here? He knew one of my aspirations long down the road was to one day run a business. And he said, you know, you could do kind of the engineering thing. We do some of that here, but really, we can nail down your big goal of one day owning a business. So then now that was on the table, I really had some reconsidering to do. And in 2012, I started full time with Steve as just an employee. And then in 2016, January 1st of 2016, I bought in 30% to the company. So that's where the dream came to reality.
And how old were you then?
26.
So 26 years old, you stroked a check for 30% of this company.
Borrowed a bunch of money is really what.
Well, either way, you stroked a check. So
yes.
What did that look like? I don't remember all the details. I just remember hearing Steve tell the story once about how you were going to get out of college and get an engineering job and make like 50 grand or something like that. And he kind of picked your brain on some of the money stuff. And then I guess there was the conversation that, you know, hey, mom and dad, I'm deciding not to go into this whole field that I just studied and we paid for and all that other shit. Like what did that all look like?
Well, you touched on the parent thing. So let me address that first. Somehow my parents pushed me in the right direction in life. And they were both, worked for the phone company, really. My mom stopped working when she had me, and they bred two entrepreneurs, me and my sister. So I don't know how they did that. They've been fully supportive of both of us. We both went to college for different things, and neither one of us do really what we went to college for. My sister somewhat, but not really. So they've been fully supportive. My hat's off to them for what they've done, but what it looked like from me and Steve's conversation is he said, what do you plan to make when you get out of college as an engineer? And I said, well, probably starting somewhere 50, 55 grand a year. That's about what a civil engineer makes starting. And in 5 years, I hope to be making 75 grand and be on the right path to be a professional engineer, which would maybe be 150 grand one day. And he said, well, what if we could do the 50 grand here out of college? And in 5 years, if you're not making more than 75 grand, then something's gone very wrong. So that's kind of how it all started.
Imagine that, Steve bringing up the money.
I know.
So so what'd you make that first year?
So first year, I probably made 48 grand. It was right there on the 50 grand mark.
Okay. And that's 2012. And then, you know, we won't get into a whole lot of stuff, but how many years was it till you were making 75?
Probably 3 years. Well, let's see. It would have been 2016. I way surpassed 75. So we were 4 years out, and I did more than double the 75 that he promised me.
All right. So, dude, what was it about? I mean, you kept coming back in the summer because you make 10 grand a summer and all that other stuff. But I know I'm trying to like fast track this because I don't want to get caught in a lot of the weeds here, because I know a lot of people just don't, they don't know you and me and Steve and all that other stuff. But I love the story because you saw something in Steve or Premier that made you give a shit and want to be a part of this. So what was that? What did you see that made you think like, hey, this is a worthwhile thing for me to really look into and consider with my life?
At its simplest level, it was a lot of fun. I saw opportunity there. And whenever we did something, we got compensated more than what was promised to us. So every year I came back, there was a raise. There were a ton of bonuses. Like, if you get this job done, we'll give you a bonus in this amount of time, that sort of thing. At the end of the year, there were always bonuses. It was just, it was a very... I'm a money motivated person, and Steve knew that about me, so that was pretty easy for him to catch on to. But there was a lot of opportunity, a lot of fun, and just more fairness than you get anywhere else.
You know, it's funny because I'm always talking about on this show how you got to focus on making money as an owner. You got to make money. And what I want people to understand is that if Steve wasn't kicking ass and making money, he wouldn't have been able to say to you, hey, here's the 50, here's 75, here, become an owner, you know, and all these other things. Like, if you're not making the money, you can't invest into your team. You can't build the type of culture that you want to build and all that other stuff, because you're always worried about whether you have the cash to do it. And so, hopefully that's what people that are listening to this are hearing right now. Like, money is not the most important thing in the world, but the rules of the world that we live in, money is sure makes things a whole lot easier when you're making it. Right. And there's, I know you guys you're all about the money there, but you also deliver massive value to your clients and you know, what you guys call your Nordstrom experience and all that stuff. So what are some, all right, so you became an owner in 2016. We just finished 2018. We're early 2019 now. I know in 2018 you bought another 20% of the company, so now you're a 50% owner. What have you learned about yourself since you've been an owner of a company?
Everything looks and seems really easy when you're not the one doing it. I would always oversimplify and, oh, why can't this happen? It's so easy. Like, right now we're going through this whole implementation of a credit card system and kind of reworking the way we do our maintenance. And it's like, oh, I understand where I want to get to, but all the little steps in between, so much more than I ever thought.
Other surprises since you've been an owner? Anything that that's been... like, it could be a pleasant surprise or a shitty one.
I think I overanalyze a lot. I knew that about myself before I became an owner, but now even more so. I can sit and think about something that really doesn't even have that big an impact for hours. So being able to tune that stuff out and take care of the big rocks is really, it's an ongoing struggle.
Yeah, that's... One of the things I hear from owners all the time, guys, that they'll start their business, they'll print their business cards, they get out there, and we all start with like a few jobs under our belt, because somebody's like, oh, cool, yeah, I'll hire to do that, and then they wake up one day and realize they don't have any work on the board. And yeah. So I think the marketing and sales thing seems to be the biggest surprise with guys, of how hard you have to work and how focused you have to be to continue to you know, get those leads coming in and shit like that. So we all have different things that jump out at us. Hey, have you joined the Contractor Fight Club yet? Listen, this is a personalized, low-cost coaching program to help you make the leap from craftsman to business owner. All right? Listen, you're probably really kick-ass at the thing that you do, with the saw, the hammer, the paintbrush, whatever it is. But unfortunately, if you're like most contractors, you haven't developed your skills as a business owner yet. And that's why I started the Contractor Fight Club. And so listen, we will dig in to what it means to know your numbers, how to get your phone to ring, how to build a team that you don't have to babysit, and a bunch of other stuff. All right. And listen, when you join the Contractor Fight Club, you get access to my monthly fight night training calls that we blow your minds with a couple hours of training every month on those. And you'll also get direct access to me, where through our app, you'll be able to connect with me, pick my brain, ask me questions, and get direct help in your business in a private forum just between you and I that only you and I see. And then finally, you'll get instant access to all the past fight nights that we've done over the past year. So listen, if this is something that that is piquing your interest, head to the contractorfight.com/fight-club and check out what we got going there. And I'd love to see if you're a fit for this. Let's kick the crap out of your goals in 2019 in your business. Join the Contractor Fight Club today. So dude, you've been with, and for those that don't know, Steve's in his, was he 61 now? He's almost 62, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So, and you're, what are you now, 30?
I will be 30 this year.
You'll be 30 this year. Okay. So, one of your business partners now is 30 years older than you, roughly, 32 years. What have you learned working with Steve, for him and then with him as a partner over the last several years, just from a leadership point of view that would help the guy who's trying to build his team listening to this right now?
Well, we kind of touched on it earlier. One of the biggest things is money makes a lot of problems go away. You can motivate your guys with it. You can treat your guys to awesome experiences with it. And that really is the start of building a culture with them. If you don't have the money to take your guys out, have a great time, bring in true A players and pay them what they're worth, then the culture just isn't going to be there. You're not going to have those A players. And you're not going to be able to offer what we strive for, that Nordstrom's experience. So truly, that is the biggest leadership key I've learned from him. But there's also a lot of nuances of knowing, having that sixth sense of when things aren't going right and being able to address those up front before they really become a culture problem for your company.
What would an example of that be?
I don't know, like just your typical employee problems. Maybe somebody thought that they were not treated fairly, or maybe they feel they should have had, I don't know exactly what it is. One thing that we do in our company is all of our hours are done on the honor system, and we rarely, if ever, question anybody on their hours. So it's all up to our employees to tell us how much they're making every week. And that's just kind of one of those things that Steve preached from the beginning of, if you give your guys the integrity, they'll give it to you back.
Yeah, one of the things I've always appreciated about your company when I look at it is you guys treat one another like grown-ups.
Yeah, you know, and have grown-up conversations too.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I think most people, when they get around you guys, they're blown away with how open and honest you guys have always been with each other. So tell us about, tell us what a truth hike is.
A truth hike is something we used to not have a name for it, but a couple of years ago, it got dubbed the truth hike. We go on, we try to do it quarterly, but it's probably more like biannually. Go on a hike in the woods behind Steve's house, and it's a time for the whole company to air out all their feelings about the company, and you'll be amazed what can happen. You'll be amazed at what people will tell you on these truth hikes. We've had people, Nilo, for example, one of our summer guys, tell us that he loves being a laborer, but he really has a passion for taking photos and making videos and stuff. And we didn't know this about him until the truth hike. So we're like, Nilo, do you want to like do that for us? And a star was born. He's now our content creator. And we never would have known that if we hadn't have done this. Hey, anybody on the totem pole, say whatever you're feeling. If you think we do a crap job, tell us. This is your chance.
Yeah, I know. You know, you got Steve's big on hiking and getting out there, and it's, you know, everyone kind of lets their guard down, and just the nature of the, no pun intended, the nature of the hike is everyone's guard is down, and it's a safe place to just say whatever the hell's on your mind. And I think that's what I hope people are hearing right now that might be having problems growing their team, keeping a team together, developing people, is you have to commit to carving out time to listen to your people, to go have fun with your people. And I just think not enough of that is happening. I mean, I can look back in my businesses in the past, and honestly, dude, I can easily say that I didn't do enough of that, and I think it cost us big time.
Yeah, it's the biggest thing, right? If you build a solid team and they feel like you're invested in them and that they can share their feelings, they're going to be invested in you.
All right, so you got contractors all over the place listening to this that are, you know, one of the biggest problems that they're all facing right now is finding a team, building a team, keeping a team together. You're a guy that came in, you know, at the very bottom of the ladder. Now you own half the company. You know, and I know in the next couple of years, you're going to own more of it. So what advice do you give an owner who might have an Andrew on his crew right now and just doesn't know it? And how do you develop that guy?
You got to first recognize that they're an Andrew and that they have potential in your company to do more than they're doing right now, and that they have the desire to do more than they're doing right now. And then you have to figure out what motivates them. For me, it was opportunity and money, and figure out how to make all that work and give them something attractive that they can work towards. And I think if all those things line up, then you could have that potential partner in your business, whether he owns some of it or not. If all his needs are being met, he could really go to bat for you.
I mean, yeah, because how long had you been working for Steve before he planted the idea of you being an owner? It was a couple years?
4 years, I think.
4 years. And then he's like, hey, yeah. So I think that's important that what you said is you got to show people that like they can go someplace here. And I just see a lot of guys, they hire somebody because they're like, I just need a body, but they don't give any vision. And then if you're not giving somebody vision, they're going to look elsewhere for that vision and they're going to bail on you. And so I think a lot of us drive some really good people away because we simply don't have a place where they can go. They can look to the future and go, hey, this is where I can take things in my life.
Yeah, and I think the other important point to make there is you got to pay A players A money. They're not going to stick around for B or C money because they know they're worth more and they want that opportunity that's really going to take them farther.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, money's one way that we keep score.
And yeah, it's the great equalizer.
It sure is. Well, dude, what, as we wrap this up, what else do you feel it's important that you wanted to share just with the contractors that are listening to this about, you know, you, your journey, leadership, any topic whatsoever? Is there anything else that you feel like can help give them an edge, help them win a little more in their business?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things is we all have to, as contractors or any business owner, really, you got to sprint in the day-to-day journey, really get things done quick, knock out your big rocks before you go on to the little stuff that doesn't matter as much. But then also be running a marathon in the long term. I think so many of us lose sight of the 5 to 10 year plan over the next week or month or year. And see that time and time again. Steve would never have me and the other partner, Mike, without his 5 to 10 year plan. So always be thinking about your business in much larger chunks of time.
Yeah, that's hugely great advice, man. I'm thinking of there's a quote, I'm going to butcher it, but it says, most people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can accomplish in 5 to 10 years.
Oh, 100%. I agree with that completely.
Like right now, as we're recording this, it's early January, right? Everyone's probably got, you know, how many people have shit tons of resolutions and they're like, I'm going to do this year and this year. And most of them aren't going to do 10% of them.
Right.
You know, because we overestimate what we can do, but the compound effect over 3, 5, 10 years can be absolutely mind blowing if you're consistent and you develop that habit of just getting shit done.
Yeah. And to that same point, what 20% of new stuff can you do to get 80% of the results that you want?
Mm-hmm.
The 80-20 rule, I firmly believe in life, works for everything. And it's just something I always resort back to. What 20% more can I do to get 80% of the end goal?
Here, there's another stat that I heard somewhere, and I'm trying to think who. I can't remember who, but it was 64% of your profit is actually the result of 4% of your activity.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and I'll try to find the source and send that to you, but I'm like, you know, so 4% of what you do leads to like 60, 64% of your actual net profit just on the money front, and you just got to make sure that you understand what that 4% is. So,
man, that's an exciting stat right there.
Well, you know me, man.
Well, what 4% could I be doing to get most of the results? Holy crap.
Well, most of us, you know, I mean, what I appreciate about you guys at Premier is you guys have a really, this is just me looking out, you know, from the outside, you know, in some ways and on the inside in some ways, but just looking at you from afar for so many years, you guys have this, I think, a pretty damn good ability as a team to cut through all the unnecessary bullshit that doesn't lead to the end goal. You guys have always had, I think you've always had a lot of clarity on where you want to go. And you guys are pretty quick to say no to anything that you feel is a fucking waste of time. Like that's literally how I've seen it. And I think there's that. And then there's the, when you guys put something on a piece of paper and say, we need to do this, you guys pull the trigger immediately. Like you don't waste a lot of time planning it. A lot of times, you know, and I know you all have different personalities and strengths and things like that, but just as a company, like if you guys have 10 things on a to-do list, that shit's usually done in like 3 to 5 days. That's been my experience with you guys, just from watching you.
100%. Procrastination is the enemy to results. And yeah. We have meetings regularly about what do we need to be doing and what do we need to stop doing. Those are always the two conversations we're having in major planning meetings. And we usually cut out one or two things that we're doing that isn't yielding any results.
How do you decide?
Hey, what are we doing that is not bringing us what we thought it would bring us? And if it's not producing the end result we wanted, we're going to either pivot and do something with it differently, or we're just going to get rid of it altogether.
Yeah, you know, it's that ability to say no that separates a lot of people. You know, too many times we feel like we got to say yes to everything when we're running a business. And, yeah. You know, it's just not the case.
You asked earlier about some of the things I learned about myself since becoming an owner, and the ability to say no personally, I would say, it's a huge thing to overcome and be able to do and say. Just that would be another piece of advice to those owners out there, is learn how to say no. Say no to the job that you don't want. Say no to the person that's just not working out on your team. Just say no, and you'll be so liberated by it.
That's good shit, man. I feel like we're back in the 80s drug campaign now. Just say no. So, were you born then? What year were you born? I don't even know.
89.
Oh, my God. You're such a young guy. Anyway. Well, dude, I appreciate you carving out some time to make this happen. And I know, I guarantee you there's somebody who's an employee that's listening to this, who's in the truck. They got their earbuds in or whatever, and they have a aspirations to own their own business, whatever. And I'm sure something that you shared helped them. And I know something also helped the owner just have some vision for their people and the stuff that you talked about. So I really, you know, I love what you guys are doing there, and I love watching you grow and develop and kick some ass. And I look forward to seeing where you're going to take this company in the next few years, man.
I'm excited for it too. And we should definitely do this again. This was a lot of fun, and I think it provides a ton of value. So I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. So if somebody's in your area of the world there outside of Baltimore and they're a fucking winner and they want to come work for you guys, how do they reach you?
Give me a call. 301-706-3315.
And what's your website?
PremierPond.com or MarylandLighting.com.
Awesome. Yeah. So guys, if you're listening and you want to work for a kick-ass company, and you feel you can bring your A game, reach out to Andrew and be part of something really cool. So, Andrew, you rock, buddy. I appreciate it. Travis, bring in the guitars. We'll see you guys next time on The Fight.